This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
I'm stoked about this podcast today. Last night I got completely trashed. I had a couple bottles of some really good red wine. Had two of my high school friends over, Brian and Adam. And we've been friends for, Mark, you know, we've been friends for 20 something years with these guys. And we watched the game, which is the first time that we watched a Thunder game. And it feels like, you know, 7, 8 years, maybe even 10 years. But dude, it was a good time to talk, like, and just have conversation about the Oklahoma City Thunder. And you know, these guys were born in Oklahoma, are very big Oklahoma City Thunder fans. And, you know, it's just nice being able to see how this team has kind of captured people that I wouldn't have considered, you know, getting into the basketball game this early on. But people are, because they don't see this as a tank anymore. They see this as the rebuild's almost complete and we're going into a winning season next season, which is kind of crazy thinking about.
It is crazy. And yeah, man, I'm glad that you got to hang out with those guys. That's really cool. And I mean, it's great to have other Thunder fans out there kind of recognize what's going on, even though, like, we all saw that game was, it got out of hand. We ended up losing by 37 points. So yeah, I mean, definitely a good opportunity to talk. But, you know, even though we didn't get the win or even, you know, compete for four quarters, like we always circle as our goal, that first quarter was pretty exciting. And, you know, the first half of the second quarter, I felt like we had a chance to stick with it. But obviously, you know, not having SGA out there was a, you know, painful thing. We made a run in the third quarter and cut it, you know, all the way down to, I think it was like 9 points. And then, boom, that thing exploded. Even. Yeah, I mean, dude, how many points did we give up at halftime, dude? What was that?
Oh,
I think it was like 77 points or something, bro.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now because I'm a little hazy on last night still, so.
It was bad. Like, the first quarter we competed, but at the end of the second quarter, it was like, all right. I mean, we know our defense has to play at a high level, and when you're giving up that many points, you know, unless we're going to hold them under 10 points in a quarter, I mean, I didn't see how we could outscore
77.
77 in the first half. Yeah. And honestly, it, you know, while they had, you know, some players had really good games, it wasn't like Towns went out there and did anything crazy. It was just a lot of balance by them. They had two players with 20, Reed and Towns, but they had a lot of other guys, 2-4 other guys in, you know, double figures in the teens, and they just had a lot of balance. See, here's the thing about Minnesota. They actually look pretty athletic. They look pretty good. They have you know, they're in a situation when they're knocking down shots, they look good. What I look at is, though, we're at the, you know, the beginning of our rebuild, and they're going all in on this team, and they're at the seventh seed. So what does it mean? Yeah, I'm definitely okay with this game. You want to get the win. SGA put up 33, and it was like, what, you know, he didn't even really play in the fourth quarter. So what would have he done if he had played four quarters? The thing is, you don't get to see that in a game like this, but I will say this. I'm extremely proud of all the Thunder fans that were there. There were so many people who stuck it out the whole game, and those people are my heroes, man, because, you know, going there and cheering for the team in the face of adversity and giving the players your support even when you're down by a big margin, like, that's important for us, because as a small market team, we have to support the players or we have nothing.
Yeah, and one thing that I was really, we knew this was going to come to an end, especially with only having four guys off of our bench playing. You know, our roster's been just decimated with injury. And I'm looking at our bench points, man, and it's the first day in, I want to say, 3 years that we didn't score 20 points. And in fact, we gave up 74 points off of their bench.
Wow.
It's just insane, bro. Like,
do you remember what you said? You said we needed to outscore their bench by 25.
Yeah, and they outscored us by, you know, obviously, what, like almost 60 points, bro. And it, and to me, it's this, it's insane. It's truly insane how much Minnesota jumped on us. And it wasn't,
what happens when your bench is depleted. There's going to be games like this. And there had been some games where some of these guys hadn't shown up on other team scouting reports. And today, like, they knew who we were going to play, and they really challenged us.
And we had the most turnovers we've had all season. We had 23 turnovers. They had 17, and we scored 27 points off of turnovers. So there was good things that we can circle and be like, yeah, we did great. They had 21 points on the fast break. We only had 11. And obviously their biggest lead is what the lead ended up being, which was 37 points. Like Mark said, we led at one point in the first quarter by five. That was really great. I mean, again, it's hard to watch a team, you know, where you're actually at a two-point lead going into the second quarter, and by the end of the second quarter, they have like a 21-point lead. Like, yeah. It was like, what the fuck just happened?
What happened was we went to the bench and we were outmatched because, like, they have some good players on their bench, and you got to give them credit for that. But let's talk about what we liked in the first quarter. I like SGA, you know, I liked him through three quarters, really, so that's easy. But Isaiah Roby had a really big first quarter, Poku was everywhere, too.
Isaiah Roby, come on, man. I mean, I wish we could just dedicate an entire episode to Isaiah Roby, because the way he's been playing recently, like, I thought, we talked about it, JRE taking over Isaiah's spot, you know? Like, taking it from Isaiah. And it's like Isaiah's coming out right now and being like, fuck you all. I'm going to play so well that nobody can say that I don't deserve this position, because he's not just playing great offense and getting 20-plus points a game right now. He's playing insane fucking defense, bro.
Yeah. 21 points, 10 assists. I mean, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, and 3 steals today for Roby. And on the other end, Towns went for 20, 8, 3, and 3. So, once again,
what was the minutes comparatively?
Let's see. Roby went for 37, and Towns went for 25.
Cool. So, kind of puts it in perspective. Like, I mean, there's a point, man. There's a point that you have to circle, right? And say, okay, it doesn't fucking matter what the media is saying anymore. It just doesn't. Because what's happening inside the locker room, what's happening in the training, what's happening with the developmental aspect of each of these players is beyond anything else. So, for us to put these guys in a box and saying, oh, yeah, JRE is going to totally wipe out Isaiah and take over his playing time, like, I'm rethinking everything, bro, because Isaiah is so effective in that. I mean, he's played against, what, 3 of the 4 best centers in the last 4 games?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's so insane about it. Like, and he's holding his own. And it's not like he's going out there and doing anything but playing so hard, playing great defense, putting up some points, but he's hitting the shots that he's been given. He's not always getting a ton of rebounds. Like, I think last game he only had 7, but he had 4 offensive last game. He had 4 offensive this game. Like, he is stepped up his game in such a way that you've got to step back, appreciate, admire it, and just give him more minutes, because how much more can he do? How much better can he do?
He's playing great on both ends. And I think as far as, like, strategy goes, one of our big things, we were doubling a lot, and Towns would get the ball and we'd send the double from the baseline. And, you know, we had a good initial attack on the defensive end, but they were really tearing us up with those cross-court passes, and it really blew the game wide open. But there was a lot of things going on in this game, and we won't recount most of it, but I will say in that first quarter, Poku was incredibly active. He stayed active all game, but Poku, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. That steal was right at the beginning. He looks really good when he's out on the fast break, and he was doing some really good things. I think when you look at it, like, when you have 9 players, you're going to have one starter on the court at all times, at least, right? You just can't get around that. Yep. So there was a, you know, how is this going to happen and how is this going to happen? And as the game went on, as it was out of hand, we had Isaiah Roby and Olivier Sarr out there together. And I thought that was a really interesting look. It kind of pushes Roby over to the 4. And, you know,
if Isaiah played the 5 like he did with Sarr in the game sometimes, like, to me, or the center, when Sarr was in the game and moving Sarr over to the power forward, Sarr is very nimble. He's very quick. And it's important to be able to have, like, this is what we've been talking about big men the whole time. Is like, it's not that we are anti-big man right now, but we're anti-slow, motherfucking slow big men. We don't want that clogging up our center. And unfortunately, when you see that, that takes out like 80% of the centers in the league immediately. Just being like looking at him like, okay, none of these guys are going to match our system. So when you see somebody like Olivia Saar at 7 foot being able to play the power forward position, the small forward position, the center position, it makes you feel like, okay, there are big men out there that are going to help us out.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was, I mean, that was something that I took as a positive. Something on a flip side, you know, you kind of look at and you say, obviously, you already mentioned the turnovers, but when you go down the line, you know, Baisley 2, Roby 3, hey, Trey Baisley, Mann 8.
Did he get hurt last night? Did you see?
You know, I don't think so, but I didn't see any in particular thing. But
he's the only starter that didn't get into 20 minutes. And yeah, it seems weird because this is a game that I felt like he would have been able to put some numbers up. I talked about it yesterday.
Yeah, you know, there was something going on with him. Like, I think in, like, mentally, he came out in like the very first possession. He bit on a ball fake. He just seemed maybe a little bit overhyped. I think sometimes when Baisley feels like he's supposed to have a big game, he puts a lot of pressure on himself. And, you know, we needed a big game from him. But yeah, he didn't play that much. I didn't see anything about injury. I mean, but yeah, he didn't get in that much. And when you're that cool. Shorthanded,
as long as he's not injured, because I mean, going down to 8 players at this point would be a kick in the nuts pretty bad.
Yeah, and we have the Jazz, you know, tomorrow night, and then after that we've got a few days off. So we're hoping that by, you know, the few days off after that point, we can maybe get some people back. But if not, you're still going to be looking at players, you know, and saying we need more from you no matter the situation. Lindy Waters hit a 3 in the first quarter. You know, we had some things going that were nice, but after that, you know, he didn't hit another shot. Tao only went 1 for 6. From deep, 2 for 10 overall. So just quite a bit like of missed shots, where on the other hand, they were creating deflections, getting out and running. They were scoring easy buckets. And honestly, the best defense all night we saw was from our mop guys out there, bro.
I mean, we can't really call them mop guys right now because there's not, you know. They're more of like an on-ball defender on fast breaks, bro.
Yeah, I know. Like, what? at least we got to stop.
It was the best defensive play that we saw for a little bit tonight. I mean, like, I hate saying that, but we gave up 133 points or 131 points, so there wasn't a whole lot of amazing defense going on our end.
Yeah, man.
Aaron Wiggins, man, just got moved up to day-to-day. That's big. Nice. That's huge for us. Status for Derek Favors day to day, so maybe we can have these guys back. We don't play for a couple days, right?
We play the Jazz tomorrow.
Okay, good. So maybe we get those guys back. Right now, everybody else has still been ruled out for Friday, so they're I'm assuming, because there's been no updates on them, that's where they're going to be until you know, probably a couple more days. But good right. News though, today Aaron Wiggins and Derek Favors are day to day, so they'll be evaluated probably tomorrow or tonight and tomorrow night or tomorrow before the game. And maybe we can get one of those guys back. I would love to have Aaron Wiggins because, again, we need a top line defender. And he's proven to be one of those guys for us.
Yeah, man. And, you know, we got to figure out how to get, you know, a little bit more from the bench. But, you know, adding a player will make a big difference. You know, when you're going all the way down and you have two of the players that are playing are two-way contracts. And, you know, you've got a couple of the other guys that are, you know, one of them's another, we got rookies, we got second year players filling up our bench, and that's what we have. And then you look at it and Trey Mann with 8 turnovers, you wonder, like, what does coach do in this? You know, you can't come out and like bench anybody in this situation, and I wouldn't want to see him benched, but I know coach has had a heavy hand with players in, you know, making mistakes, but this is one of those times you have to ask people to play through them. And I know Trey will appreciate that. That's a great opportunity to put this game past him, because this wasn't his best game. And you know, look, they put a lot of length on him and they created a lot of deflections. And we kind of see maybe a little bit how teams are going to try to defend him. But he had some big time shots in this game, a couple of threes, you know, while we were trying to hang in it there in the second quarter. They would open up a lead of 6 or 7 points and he would knock down a 3. But it just wasn't enough. And in the end, man, I wish we could have got the win, but you got to, like I said, you got to love those fans for staying there and repping the city in such a great way.
Yeah, and let's just get into the basics of what happened last night, because when it comes down to who got the playing time is really kind of interesting to me. Let's talk about it. Poku, he's still 19, right? So you got Poku at 19. You got Mann as a rookie. Yeah, Lindy Waters as a rookie. Olivia Saar as a rookie. Maladone 19 or 20. And Vit Krejci as a rookie. This is crazy, man. Like, think about that. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys of our 9 guys are rookies or under 21 years old. I mean, you can even throw Trey Mann in as, you know, under 21 there. You've got Baisley at 21.
I think so, yeah.
You know, and the only two guys that were older than that were Shea and Isaiah Roby. Both of them are 23. So to me, it's just insane how young we were out there. I can't remember another time that we were looking at our lineup saying the majority of the minutes were taken by 6 guys that were under this age. And it's crazy.
Yeah, and that's why I look at this Jazz game and I'm like, man, it's going to be a tough one. We need to regroup. So we're looking at the few days we have off after that. We're like, you know, definitely going to be excited about, you know, getting our legs back. But right here, right now, players like Lindy Waters, Olivier Saar, Vit Krejci, Théo Maledon, this is the best opportunity they've had in a very long time. Even Poku, you know, he's found himself in and out of the rotation at times. And this is a really special time for them. So it can be frustrating. It can be like, oh, man, look at that deficit. That really sucks. But if you're getting an opportunity to watch these guys, you know, what Poku's able to do, like I listened to the Timberwolves broadcast, you know, they're in love with him. Same with Trey Mann. You know, these guys, they're big fans of these guys, and we can play at a different level. But in the end, you know, we've got to figure out a way to stay in it if we're going to bring our closer back in for the fourth. And that's what we wanted. We want 4 quarters of competition. And from there, you know, whatever happens, happens. But obviously, we got to figure something out to come back and play the Jazz at a higher level.
I look at what Trey Mann did last night. I was really pleased with it. I was happy with it. I know that there were some struggles in his game, but the fact that he put up 15 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 1 offensive rebound, and was 3-for-7 at 3-pointers. To me, I know he missed a lot of shots, you know, 5-for-13, but to me, this is exactly what we need him doing. We need him shooting threes, attacking the hole, and getting rebounds because, I mean, look at the steals. Again, we talked about this last game after the game, post-game, was he's getting 3 steals almost every single game these days. And it's insane. His defense has really stepped up. And, like, I don't think that this is just a bloop in his statistics. It's going to be like, oh, look at, he's, you know, averaging 1.5 steals or 2 steals for the entire season. I think that's going to be something that's going to end up happening consistently because of the way that he's been growing in the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, program. And the fact is, I'm blown away with the way that he's been able to step up. 8 turnovers has got to cut down on, but I'm not, he's a rookie and he had the ball in his hand a lot because Shea was going off the ball. Which I dug. They're doing this awesome offense of Trey and Shea getting back and forth, and they're just like what it would be with Giddey, trying to get them used to, or Shea getting used to playing alongside Giddey without being around Giddey is kind of cool to watch. But I don't know, man. I'm looking at Trey, and they're expecting him to do a lot of stuff, and I feel like he's stepping up in a big way. So, you know, people can be negative on him about this game, but I choose to look at the good side of what he did. And get excited about it because he's a rookie. He's going to make mistakes. But the good side of everything I'm seeing is way more positive than the bad side.
One thing I would say is maybe worth watching out for. First of all, Poku absolutely plays enormous in the paint. You know, when he's in there, he's deflecting things. You know, passes are going over top and he's putting hand on it. So I'm kind of curious, do you think that we could end up potentially moving him into the starting lineup permanently? And the spot, I would wonder if, like, would he start at the 4? Is the team, you know, interested in making him a 4, or do you think he stays like a small forward?
No, not even close about small forward. I think Poku, they have every belief that Poku's going to be the future big man of this team. Being that he's so young, we saw him play against Joka the other day, get three blocks or two blocks against Joka. He understands the game very well. His defense is you know, very, very good. We watched him last season average, like, what, a block and a half a game or whatever. So we know that he can play great defense. I think they're working on his body mass, making it, you know, so that he has a more of a sturdy built so he can go up against these guys more consistently and better. But I think they have every plan of making him a center, whether he's coming off the bench as a center and we don't pick up a center in this draft, or we don't pick up a center in the offseason or whatever, and Poku comes off the bench, or Poku becomes our starter at the center. They're playing him at power forward right now to continue to create that physical contact, because if you wanted him to play power forward and you were getting him to that level, he'd be scooted or moved over slightly to play the small forward position, you know, because they would want him to work up to that.
I have to tell you, man, I really disagree. I don't think that you would want him playing at center. I think you want somebody with like Roby or JRE playing center and let Poku kind of come over on the weak side.
But when I say center, it's the defender. That's my the offensive player, right? You stick Roby down low as the offender. Offensive player, but Roby's faster at collapsing.
Right.
He's faster at getting around the defender. I would feel like if Poku was the first stop of that defense, and then Isaiah, Baisley, whoever would have come around, they're faster than Poku.
Yeah, I just don't think you would want him taking the physical contact that would go with playing against Sabonis or Joker or Towns. Like, I think that you've got to have somebody like Roby in there or JRE.
So do you think
really
he's done putting muscle weight on then?
No, but that's why I wonder, maybe, because right now he's playing small forward, right? Because Baisley's the power forward. So I think maybe you shift him over to power forward if you're playing, once again, this is not the right word, but if you're going small, you know, you play him at power forward. I don't really think he's small. It's just like you want to stretch power forward, I guess is what I'm saying.
I still look at Poku being able to add 20 pounds, maybe 25. I mean, I could be wrong and he could add 30 pounds, but if he's able to do this, then he's as big as any other center in the league. And that's why I feel like they're playing him at that power forward position consistently. I mean, it's that physical contact that you get as a center, right? But it's a power forward in a much smaller body. So it's allowing Poku to absorb that being hit a lot. So I'm interested to see what Coach D's idea and Sam Presti's idea to do with it. Because, I mean, if he's playing at the four or even the small four, I don't think his future is as a small forward. I think it's more of a power forward than a small forward. Just because of his size. But again, I've been wrong so many times with this team about the way they're building and the way they're growing. You know, I could just be way off in this.
Yeah, and I think we're both talking more about defensively. Offensively, he fits into the scheme on the perimeter. Defensively, you know, where is he going to match up and what assignment will he take? And, you know, that's kind of how, you know, it goes. Because
do we have a longer body than him?
No, but, you know, just about length, right?
You know that thing over Twitter is saying Sam Presti's ideal body for an NBA player, and it has this player with like these massive arms that go past his knees, you know? Have you seen that one?
No.
Okay, well, anyways, it was going around for a while. And the other day I watched Poku standing there and his hands are hanging down, and I was like, holy cow, that's just like that.
Yeah.
You know, a little meme about like Sam Presti's ideal body for the NBA, and it has this, you know, 7-footer with arms that are longer than his, you know, past his knees. And I kind of feel like with Poku, if he gets out to that power forward position, they're going to pull him outside the bucket. And I feel like he's way more powerful as a either help defender, like you said, coming up to block that shot where he's not getting impacted with that body. Let Isaiah take that impact. But that means he has to get quicker. So if he's going to add weight, that's going to slow him down at that moment. You know what I'm saying? So, like, what are they trying to do to...
They're trying to let him run. Let him be free. Let him get out there and do what he does.
His mind is great. That's what's so powerful about that, is that, you know, we've got so many guys that can handle the ball, pass the ball, and take it to the next level like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you look at the minutes that we got and you wonder definitely what's up with Baisley. I'm hoping he's fine, but Haven't heard anything yet. But also you look at it and like, a lot of those bench guys got some really good minutes. You know, Lindy Waters, 27, Vic Krejci, 27, and Teo with 24. You gotta love it, man. It's crazy, man. This is,
I hated the game.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I love the fact that we're so young playing hard. And as a fan of the underdog, as a fan of rookies, like to me, this is like eating candy as a kid at like 2 a.m. in the morning. You know, like I'm getting excited. I'm not worried about the score or how many points we're scoring in a quarter. I'm watching each of these young men develop into men, develop into NBA players. And to me, it's like, oh, cool. Look at Lindy Waters. Oh, he could do something great. Oh, yes. Like yeah. It's excitement. Even though we're down 20 points, you're like, fuck yeah. And I feel like it's something that being part of the organization that loves and admires and treats their players so well. Like you see the city and the organ, like you said, the Thunder fans, so many people stayed to the very end, even though it was a 37 point loss. Like people are buying in ways that we haven't ever seen with this team before. Like all those people that are greedy and talking about draft picks are being pushed out. People don't want to hear about those people anymore. They've been hearing them for 3, 4, 5 fucking years now. They don't want to hear that shit anymore. And to me, it's exciting because we're here. We're standing in a spot that we believe in this team. We believe in this organization. And we bought in because we're seeing glimpses of the future. And to me, it looks super, super fucking bright.
Yeah, man. I mean, you can't help but get excited when Poku goes out there and knocks down a couple of threes and then runs a fast break after getting a steal. And not just him, but Roby, back-to-back-to-back great games now. Trey Mann looks like next year he's going to come in and starting out he could average 15 points a game because of what he's been able to do recently. And I called it. I thought SGA was going to put up 43. Well, he played like three quarters and put up 33. So obviously he's the level of scorer that it's automatic. If he played four quarters, he would have got there. Like, this is crazy. Like, we have a great team, but one of the things about being young is you're going to have some really big inconsistencies. But even with that said, with all of those things said, we still put up 18 points off the bench. And, we had that streak of 20 plus points, it was right there. We could have had it. Obviously, that's not what we're playing for. That's incidental. But our focus on the bench is even in an environment like this, when you have one player who doesn't score off the bench, you got three players putting up 18. Like, this is progression. It's slow. You have to look. You have to take your time. You have to watch all the little things. But that's what we're nerds for, man. Like, back when we would have really competitive teams, we'd hardly ever get to see the scrubs play, but we wanted to see how they were developing. And you got to love Coach Daigneault, because everybody on this team is developing on their own timeline, but you can see progression game after game for every single player.
And to me, the way this team is playing, it's getting me excited. And I put it back to when you and I were younger, right? We used to go and get those videotapes of moves that you could learn, like from Rick Barry, and there was one from I think Pistol Pete Maravich or whatever. We had all these old tapes that people had collected through the years and given us. One of our really good friends, Andrew Havens, had some amazing post move tapes that I would take an extension cord and bring out the TV and I would put it out in the garage, and Mark, me, or Mark, John, and I, or Rob, or whoever, and we would work on these moves over and over again. And it was passion, because you would go on and you would look for these through these videos, and you'd be like, oh, I want to learn this one. Ooh, I want to see this one. And you would start picking, and you start nerding out on all this stuff that's happening. And I feel like that's exactly what's happening right now with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Those of us who are lucky enough to recognize it, those of us who are lucky enough to understand it, it's creeping on us. Like, this is it. Like, this is how a championship team is built. And in fact, we have probably all the players, minus a couple here and there, on this team right now that are going to be in that championship push and that championship run. And it's almost like one of those feelings that you get, like you know it's happening, you know it's coming, and it's just, I don't know what to say. Like, the only thing that's going to happen that's going to destroy it is if something horrible happens to one of our players that are the main guys, and they aren't able to play basketball anymore. Like, that's the only thing I look at as being what's going to happen to this team that, that could really destroy their championship chances. But to me, the way that we help these players, how the way that we protect them, the way that we show that they're valuable by making sure they're eating properly, working out properly to, you know, minus injuries or serious injuries, like these are the things that a lot of organizations aren't really spending a lot of time on. And I just appreciate what's happening in Oklahoma City right now. And I think a lot of us fans are all on board, 100% bought in.
It's changed. It's changed over the time. You know, I would say sometime in February, things really started shifting where the fans started like realizing that like this is something that's happening right in front of us. I think I saw the mayor of Oklahoma City send out a tweet about how, you know, Josh Giddey is making history, you know, people should be paying attention, but it doesn't start or stop there. But, you know, he is what everybody, I think, started turning and watching, but then they started realizing that it wasn't just him. Poku's made these strides. If he was putting the, like, games up like this last year, could you imagine how everybody would feel? But, you know, it takes time to progress, and people weren't patient, and they gave up on him, and now they're, like, cautious because they're not sure if they should buy stock on Poku or not. Like, but I'm telling you, like, Poku's for real. You know, Poku 100%. Has developed a we don't know, like, a body type like his. You know, can it withstand an NBA season? We're not exactly sure, but what we're seeing is by far more than we expected at this level. A teenager with his body thought, shouldn't play like this at this age.
Yeah, and we didn't think that he was going to be playing at a level that he'd be getting, you know, 25 minutes, 30 minutes here and there for another couple years. Like, to me, like, I remember watching him last year and being like, hey, listen, we just need to – and this is again, so shallow of me, and I hate doing it, but I – watching Poku play, like, he needs to go to the G League and play in a G League an entire year. You know, like, this is the young man that would benefit for doing that. And we've watched him play, you know, probably an entire season between last season and this season in the G League. And I look at it and I'm pumped for him, because the reality is that he's gotten to that point. He's outgrown the G League. It doesn't mean he won't go down to stay fresh, but he's outgrown the G League now. And that is something that I didn't think he was going to do this quickly. And I'm just proud of the young man. I think that you're looking at him become somebody that a lot of people didn't expect. And that's why when I say stuff like I think he could play center position in the future is because I truly, truly believe in who Poku is. And to me, that center position for him being the shooter, being the quick feet, the footed player that he is, would be unbelievable. And it would be one of the greatest combinations of center, power forwards, and guards in the league. And to me, like, I get it. That's down the line. But how much further down the line if we've seen this much improvement already? So, again, it's just going back and breaking down each of these guys. I love talking about Poku. I love talking about Shea and Trey Mann. And, you know, like, we watched the game twice, Mark and I, and we watched the Oklahoma City Thunder broadcast, and then we watched the broadcast for the other team. And, you know, with the Minnesota Timberwolves, man, it was, you know, Trey Mann and Poku and Isaiah Roby. Like these are guys that we take great pride in as a city to have on our team.
Yeah. And it's a long-term investment on these guys. And it takes a while to see like the results of that investment. And when you start seeing signs, we start acting like gold miners who just found a little bit of gold dust. You know, it's not that we think that that's in and of itself going to make us rich, but we realize that that means that there's more there, and you're looking for these moments. And it, like, you go a whole 82 game season and you're like, okay, we're looking for moments this year. We're not looking for the playoffs. Like, of course we want to get to the playoffs, right? But it's not that that's what the whole goal of every single thing is. Like, our goal every year is to get better, get closer, and watch this team continue to improve. Where will that improvement come from? You know, we don't always know, but when we do see things happen, what we've noticed is that it's just yo-yoing from the blue to the thunder and letting players go down, work on their craft, come back, and then encounter failure in a way where they can process it and go and work on what teams forced them to do that made them not succeed, and then come back better at all those skills. It's an organizational effort, and a big part of it was when we moved the Blue to the same arena, or to Oklahoma City, where at first they were playing at the Cox Convention Center. Now they play at Paycom, But that's an important step because it gives the players an opportunity to be around the team, and we don't have to think about transportation. And as soon as they are done with a game, they can even play in a second game. And, you know, that's something we've done multiple times this year. And I'm just impressed with the whole organization.
Yeah, and it's just leading up to making the right moves that Sam Presti made, bringing in the right people, recognizing that the rebuild was coming very quickly, and the player developmental staff that he's put in charge in Oklahoma City is truly next level. And I don't know, it's just a masterful artwork that our piece that we're watching right now. We talked about you know, Sam's masterpiece last year a lot, but really looking at how all these players are coming together, it's something that we all take great pride in. We all, as a city, stand up with this team and look at each one of them as, you know, young men that we know. It's just something that's happening in Oklahoma City that makes it so powerful, makes it so impactful that you have to see the whole big picture. And again, I'm really stoked. I'm pumped about this team. I'm pumped about this organization. I hope you guys are too. I hope you guys enjoy listening to Mark and I. It's something that we take great pride in, to be able to do this every single fucking day. And we haven't missed a day. And we won't miss a day because we're very passionate about this Oklahoma City Thunder team. So thanks again for listening. My name is Dave. That was Mark. And as always, this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Paper.